This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board in the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. Find Your Dream Job is brought to you by Top Resume. Top Resume has helped more than 400,000 professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Your professional relationships are a huge asset when you do a job search. The people you know in your field can make referrals, arrange introductions, and open otherwise closed doors. Francina Harrison is here to talk about how to build real relationships that work in your career. She's the CEO of The Career Engineer. Her company helps career changers, job seekers, and entrepreneurs. Francina is also the author of A Mind to Work, the life and career planning guide for people who still need to work. She joins us from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Well, Francina, here's where I want to start. Why do relationships matter so much when you do a job search?
Yeah, well, relationships are the big deal. You know, even though we're in a high-tech world now with all the tools of the internet, it's that human-to-human connection that is still more than 50% of getting your next interview or your next contact. So the art and the science of building real relationships, and we purposely say real, capital R-E-A-L, because it's that type of networking that helps not just open the door, but oftentimes can get you in the seat in that new chair on a Monday morning.
You mentioned a statistic there a moment ago, more than 50%. Tell us more about that number and what you have in mind there.
Yeah, you know, that word of mouth, that golden passive employee or talent, that's always been the best hire for most businesses and organizations and employers. So even though, again, we're in the 21st century and we've got our social media and all of those wonderful platforms to help us network online, any good manager, any great decision maker or supervisor or CEO would always want that warm, golden referral by someone they know, like, and trust. So the ability to build relationships, not just, companies do it all the time, but I need those individuals to think of themselves, you know, as I call it, the career entrepreneur, and really work on that networking skill, how you build that one-on-one to get access and opportunity. So to me, when we're working with our clients, making sure they know the art of networking. And a lot of people are afraid to network still for several reasons. But once you look at it from the one-on-one and the human-to-human level, being a real relationship networker will always help you keep revenue coming.
We're going to talk more about networking and that art of networking that you mentioned a moment ago. But you also used a phrase, the golden referral.
Yes.
And so what would you say to a listener who every Monday sits down and grinds out those online applications and isn't tapping into those golden referrals? Why can't you rely on sending out lots and lots of resumes alone?
Because that's what your competition is doing all day long. It's very easy to send them from our wonderful devices, you know, mobile device or your desktop, and do that. You know, use your best job boards and just mass send everything out. But where's the human touch in that? And what we're finding, particularly post the, you know, global trauma we've all had many, many moons ago, but that folks want that human to human relationship. So I challenge most career seekers, career changers, that if you're not stepping up and doing some, and face-to-face could be virtual, but it could, you know, meet someone for a cup of coffee. I mean, tap into your existing networks and let them know that you're in the market or exploring the market or looking to make a change and access that hidden, you know, you have folks that are looking for you with their eyes and ears too. So if you're only, and that's the big word, O-N-L-Y, if you're only doing the online, you know, and only doing that, and you're not doing the human to human, you're really doing yourself a disservice because that word of mouth, I mean, any business on the planet loves the word of mouth client. They usually come more competent, they're confident, they're a commodity versus being common. So as the job seeker or changer, if you're not upping your networking game or strategy, like I said, be a relationship networker, you're really working harder than you have to. And you are most times not getting in the right marketplace that you should be.
Is it only professional connections that matter, Francina, or can your relationships with family, friends, or even casual acquaintances make a difference.
Absolutely. Whatever your source of networking, I have had situations. I'm a big football fan, and I actually had a great interview with a major coach for an NFL team because I love football, and I happened to be at a youth camp because I just happen to love football. So, you know, it could be in the faith community. It could be at the PTA. It could be alumni associations of your student or your, you know, graduate or, you know, went to college 10 years ago or last week. Wherever you tap into, so friends, family, past employers even, you know, I have some clients that we call them boomerang employees. They, you know, they left on good terms, things changed, they want to go back. And because they were such a great networker and understood relationship building, they were able to still have a conversation that led to a collaboration that maybe led to a connection that then got to you hired. So yes, if you are members of professional associations and go to your conferences, absolutely, you should network there. But don't dismiss friends, family, things you're involved in, where you do stuff in your community, nonprofits, places like that. There are incredible folks in the circles that you are. You just haven't tapped into them yet.
Why do you think so many candidates are either uncomfortable or just don't like networking? What's going on there?
And believe it or not, I was maybe many, many moons ago, one of those folks. It just seemed like an awkward place. I'd go to an industry event and, you know, clicks were there. Or what do I say? How do I, you know, jump into that conversation that's already going on? You know, and I don't know these people. But that's why when we start doing what we do, we took networking to a different, more personable level. You may know I have a master's in social work, right? I was clinically trained, so I'm a big social people person. So I wanted something, a strategy or something to help people, like, listen, go into that event as if, you know, you're the host and there's a way that you can connect with other human beings and be less awkward, not feel so awkward or uncomfortable. And that's what relationship networking does. Also, some people associate the word networking with like high pitched sales or like high pressure stress involved with that. And no one wants to be involved with that. But the key is when you're a relationship networker, it's a different one-on-one conversation that really can grow. And it's not something you do just one time. I mean, I'm a relationship networker with people I might meet several times in a month, you know, virtually or offline, because we still are building bridges and relationships for years that still pay off. So by doing this a little differently, I think it would make the term networking less awkward for folks.
I want to get to the art and strategy of being a relationship networker. But before, one last question.
Yes.
You mentioned one of the myths about networking. It's people often associate it with sales or high pressure tactics. Are there any other common myths about networking that you want to bust before we talk about how to network well?
Sure. Particularly with relationship networking, I often will tell folks that even, let's say you're ready to do this and you're at some, you know, callous event or some place where people are breaking bread and building relationships, the deal doesn't happen at the networking event. It's a place to start the collaboration, start a conversation. No, I've never closed a deal with someone I just met at a networking event, right? So this is the beginning. It's the genesis of it. It's the initiation of a relationship and folks knowing who's in the room and knowing what to say when that question is asked of you. And then what should happen is, you know, I have a little time period that I ask people to do, but then you continue, you know, you follow up. There's a way to engage that relationship. And again, whether you break bread together or you have an email conversation or things of that nature. In fact, I did a relationship connection using my friend LinkedIn with two people, one in Atlanta, one in New York City. And now they're going to get together and they've exchanged telephone numbers and they can have this wonderful conversation because it seems like there's some great synergy energy between the two of them. And that's what it's about versus me saying, oh, here's his number, here's a card, just call him. That's not real relationship networking. So it's, nothing happens that day, but, well, it shouldn't, but you have the opportunity to follow up and then to build out that bridge.
Terrific. I'd like to take a break. And when we come back, I want to dig into relationship networking, what it is and how to do it well. So stay with us. When we return, Francina Harrison will continue to share her advice about how to build real relationships that work in your career. Are you unhappy with your resume? Go to maxlist.org/top resume. The experts at Top Resume will review your resume for free. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Learn how you can improve your resume on your own or hire Top Resume to do it for you. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the Max List studio. I'm talking with Francina Harrison. She's the CEO of The Career Engineer. Her company helps career changers, job seekers, and entrepreneurs. Francina is also the author of A Mind to Work, the Life and Career Planning Guide for People Who Still Need to Work. She joins us from Virginia Beach, Virginia. Now, Francina, before the break, we were talking about the importance of building relationships when you're looking for work and what a difference they can make, especially when it comes to referrals, when you're looking for that next job. And you've talked a number of times about what you call real relationship networking. Unpack that for us, Francina. Why do you like that phrase? Tell us more.
Well, actually, one of my previous clients, I have a networker community for networkers because obviously I want people to be real relationship networkers. But we were doing something. I'm like, I slipped up and said, yeah, this is real relationships. And I just paused on the word real. And we were like, that's it. That's exactly what we want folks to do. So the difference between what we call a TCE real relationship networking and traditional is it's not about prospecting or hustling, you know, because sometimes you get predators and scam artists in these little networking spaces, and that what make people so feeling awkward. But it's about being real, telling the truth, knowing who you are and what you bring. And that's really the unique thing. And I know businesses, entrepreneurs always do this, but I really wanted individuals, job seekers, job changers, college grad, you know, students, anyone coming back into the workforce to take that career entrepreneurial mindset, being real, telling the truth, right? But the most important part with relationship networking is you got to know who you are and what you bring. So I took that, we used to call it what the elevator speech technique, but we made it into what we call a TCE relationship intro, like three simple parts. And it's a way to make that conversation a little bit more human and successful.
And listeners probably picked up on this, but when you say TCE, you're talking about the career engineer.
I am. TCE, the career engineer. So the whole, they're just TCE. That I answer to it. I answer to just about everything, but I definitely answer the TCE. Yes.
Terrific. And now tell us how paying attention to those three ideas is going to help you in your job search.
So when, for example, if we're in a, let's say we're somewhere, you know, doing a collaboration, the way I look at the relationship networking is I ask people, there's three simple things. We're into a space or a room. And to me, networking could be if there's two people in the room, I call it a networking event, you know, as long as it's someone other than you. But, you know, it's who you are, what you have, and what you want. And believe it or not, those three things are some of the hardest things for me to get career professionals to know who you are, what you have, and what you want.
Why is it hard for people to get clear about those three things?
I just want a job. I want to work anywhere. It doesn't matter. I'm like, no, it does matter. So when I say you got to know who you are, this is where the career seeker or changer, and these are like 10-second looking for soundbite world. Like, you know, maybe this is a 30-second introduction, maybe a 60-second, but who you are. So for example, I am Francina Harrison, the career engineer. Don't get anxious, get prepared. And we help people to love Monday mornings. Right. I mean, that could be me being whoever I am. That's the way I would introduce myself. There are some, like someone's an IT person or they're in education. They're like, well, I've just been a teacher for 10 years. That's all I do. That's not a who you are. I want folks to know their gifts, their talents, and find a way in 10 seconds to 20 seconds. And this is something you'll practice at home in front of the mirror. So when someone says who you are, you're able to give them a little powerful sound bite. The second part of what do you have? That's a 10 to 20 second, what do you bring to the table? Like, again, you may just have a moment to, someone may say, hey, tell me something about yourself or what brings you here. So what do I have? I bring over 14 years of helping people to know, you know, who they are and what they bring. And we help folks to make sure they maximize our model of don't get anxious, get prepared. But if I have 10 years of IT or I'm a 10, you know, award-winning project manager, I would definitely make sure I share that and my, what do I have, right? And then, of course, what do you want? That's the biggest blur for folks. I have so many, master's degree, PhD, professional training. What do you want? I don't know. Well, IDK doesn't work well in relationship networking. So what do you want? I'm looking for access into this name of this company. Or do you know John Doe, who happens to be the manager of the supply chain department at thus and so? So that requires doing work so that as you're being able to introduce yourself, folks get a glimpse of what you bring to the table, who exactly you're looking for, trigger name, trigger of the company, that type of thing. So it's something folks have to practice. But when you do that, folks look around and go, wow. This is not just someone that says, well, I just moved to town. I just got here. I don't really know what I want, but hey, can you help me find a job? That's not relationship networking. That's something else.
So when you know the answers to those three questions, who you are, what you offer, and what you want,
yes.
You talked about the benefits. One of them is that people, when you're specific about what you ask for, people can help you. What are some of the other benefits that happen when you are able to say in 30 seconds or less the answers to those three questions?
I mean, it wows the people in the room. And it also makes you, you know, folks know that you've done your homework, that you're not, I mean, your competition is maybe having some average response. You've put some time into this. And the next step is really tell me more. Or you know what? I know someone at a certain company. You know, can we chat or can we exchange low tech or high tech connectivity? Of course, LinkedIn profiles should be wild and everything else you have. But guess what? Your phone is a great tool. It works. Okay. Do you happen to have your brochure, also known as a resume, maybe a PDF on your phone if someone asks for it? Maybe you can submit that and then, hey, let's follow up and do a conversation. So after folks actually say who they are, what they have, and what they want, I do have what I call my TCE must-haves. If you're going to be a relationship networker, you've got to do the following things. You got to, of course, show up, you've got to step up, and then you have to follow up. So if you meet someone, maybe there's two people. I'm not looking to meet 300 people. That's impossible. But if I know who's in the room and I kind of strategically make sure I'm in that right circle or I introduce myself with my relationship intro, my next step, if I do get, this is someone we can have a great conversation. Show up, step up, follow up. Follow up being the key, because most folk network, get excited and forget and don't follow up. And then there you go. We're right back at zero again.
Why does follow up make such a big difference?
Because that's initiative. That shows initiative. A lot of times, traditional networkers will wait for that other person you met that gave you an aha moment to call you. No, relationship networkers, we're going to follow up within 24 hours is great. 48 hours, I give it to you by email. How about ask the person how they would like to be connected to, right? We're going to make sure we keep that thing fresh because this is about access and opportunity. So yeah, follow up is the biggest. When folks don't get what they want, I often can tell, did you follow up? And the answer is like, was I supposed to? Absolutely. In this economy, this day, the way things are, it's that follow-up person that gets the, you know, that gets recognized. So follow-up is critical.
Many people might struggle with coming up with the answers to those first three questions mm-hmm. that you posed, you know, who you are, what you offer. What exercise do you take your clients through, Francina, to help them get the answers to those questions?
Self-assessment, being aware, and practice. So when someone, for example, if someone has a beautiful, wonderful, wild resume or their LinkedIn profile is so dynamic and it's great on the screen and it's great on paper, but then when I talk to that person, I don't get the wow, I get the won't. I'm like, use that piece of paper or use that digital profile of yours. Start knowing who you are, because it's great that you had someone write something wonderful, but it's got to be what I call flesh to you. And I talk about that a lot in the book, that the language, that the way you speak, the words you use, this is what, if you get the opportunity for someone to say, tell me more, or really can, you know, that sounds exciting. Who can I connect you with? You have got to practice that thing, but you've got to also look at your brand and figure out, hey, what do I want or what do I don't? And actually, one of the steps I will tell folks, if they really aren't sure, well, I'm not sure where I fit. Well, tell me the three things you don't want to do. Share with me the three environments you don't want to work in. Share with me the three management styles that no way. I mean, someone can offer you $1 billion and you still will say no. I mean, that means it's that much of an importance to you. Start from there, at least, with what you don't want, you know, the kind of environment you don't want to be in. But the have, that's someone looking at their performance, their accomplishments and their leadership and picking two, three, or four of those things as they get ready to do this. So yes, this isn't a quick, fast, and hairy. It's a real relationship networking, but the product is the person. So if you don't have a real relationship with yourself, knowing your gifts, your talents, your performance and accomplishments, it's going to be very difficult to communicate that to folks who don't know you. So yes, it starts with self and it takes practice.
Well, it's been a terrific conversation, Francina. Now, tell us, what's next for you?
We have launched our third edition of our book, A Mind to Work. We're actually calling it 3.0. And some of the things I talked about, guess what? Definitely in the book, how people can know who they are and what they bring. At The Career Engineer, like I said, our motto is simple. Don't get anxious. Get prepared in your career, life, and business. And we help entrepreneurs, employers, and employees to do just that. Know who they are, what they bring, get the courage and confidence to go out there and go get it.
I know that listeners can learn more about you, your company, and your services, as well as your book, by visiting your website, tcenow.com. And you also invite listeners to connect with you on LinkedIn. And as always, I hope when they do reach out to you, that they'll mention they heard you on Find Your Dream Job. Now, Francina, given all the great advice you've shared today, What's the one thing you want a listener to remember about how to build real relationships that work in your career?
Keep it authentic, genuine. You are more than enough. You have gifts and talents. Stop burying them. Let the world see you shine. So it starts with you. Believe in yourself and you've got this. That's what I want folks to know.
Make sure you never miss an episode of Find Your Dream Job. Subscribe to our free podcast newsletter. You'll get information about our guests and transcripts of every show. Go to maxlist.org/newsletters. Again, that's maxlist.org/newsletters. Next week, our guest will be Katie Burtis. She's a creative recruiter at M&P who connects candidates with jobs. Katie is also on the team at Talent Career Coaching, where she helps clients with job searches. Many candidates looking for work focus exclusively on finding and applying for jobs. If all you're doing is sending out applications, says Katie, you're making your search longer and harder than it needs to be. Join us next Wednesday when Katie Burtis and I talk about why your network matters in your job search. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job. This show is produced by MaxList. Susan Thornton-Hoff schedules our guests and writes our newsletter. Lisa Kislinberry-Anderson manages our social media. Our sound engineer is Matt Fiorillo. Ryan Morrison at Podfly Productions edits the show. Dawn Mole creates our transcripts. And our music is by Freddie Trujillo. This is Mac Pritchard. See you next week.